Tiene. My brother points out that I would be welcome in a Church of Christ. And by the way, no, I wasn't referring to just the congregations of the Churches of Christ, because I do not consider them the only authoritative or apostolic churches. If I repented of what he calls a sin and did not have sex with another, what my brother fails to know is that I was disfellowshipped from a Church of Christ. Not because of what I did, but because of how I felt. You didn't know that, Pat. That was blasphemy. And then I was shunned. Now, my brother talks about Jude 7. And he says, going after strange flesh was going after homosexual relationships. Every scholar I have read says that it was the daughters of men having sex with the sons of angels. And the sons of men wanting to have sex with the daughters of angels. Which would be bestiality. And I have from the David and Bathsheba story. David raped Bathsheba. She didn't have a choice. You see, it was customary for and men, when they needed to bathe, to go on the top of their roofs to bathe, because that would be a private place. David committed more than just one of the top 10 there. He took another's property. He killed her husband. And this is who we call a man after God's own heart. I think it just proves what God can do with somebody who can be so sinful. I didn't say, and I don't believe, that David and Jonathan were exclusively gay, because at that point in that society, that was not an option. But you know, based on his argument around Romans chapter 1, the best that he can really argue, if you read the passage, is not that being gay or lesbian is a sin. The best he can argue is it's a punishment from God for idolatry. That's the best he can argue. Because remember, the wording isn't about they committed the sin. It is, for God gave them up. But I want to go on. I promised you I'd talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Because you see, not what the passage is talking about in Romans chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. And 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 10. And I want to talk about some of the things going on in this day and age. In Corinth, quite frankly, to be called to play the Corinthian literally was a term for sexually loose and immoral. It was famous for its brothels, more so than some of our southernmost states on the western coast. I'm sure he encountered same-sex activity. But all of that, or most of that, would have been associated with idolatry, adultery, prostitution, and maybe sometimes all of those things. Quite frankly, it's reasonable to assume that Paul would address cult prostitution. But I want you to look at how he had talked to the Corinthian church. Because he's concerned because they're getting very liberal. Compare that to the way he talks to the Galatian church, where he tells them not to give up their liberty. Many of the religions in Corinth were accustomed, quite frankly, to having sex as part of worship. So it wasn't unusual to think that maybe the Christian church sometimes had those things coming over into it, considering they just came from religions that had multiple gods and multiple sex partners in things. You know, go to the local Christian church and then hop on over to the Temple of Apollo and engage in one of the prostitutes over there. And are abusers of themselves with mankind. Per the Kingdom Interlinear Translation of the Greek Scriptures, New World Bible Translation Committee, 1985. Actually, that's the King James, too. Some of the newer translations do render it homosexuals. Because we really didn't have that word. Malakoi literally means soft. And in my Bible, it is translated temple prostitute. Could also mean you just don't have the moral backbone to be a member of the church. Remember, we're not going to be taken out of this building and shot if the soldiers come today. They were going to die if somebody came. It's used in other places, but never does it reference sexuality. Matthew chapter 11, 7 and 8. Luke chapter 7, 24 and 25. And that second word, that arsenikitai, it's an interesting little word, man bed. What does lady killer mean today? Most of us would say it's somebody who knows how to wow them and charm them and to be able to date somebody effectively. What is it going to mean 2,000 years from now if it was made up tonight and we wrote it in some writing and we never defined it? This is the first time it appears in written documentation. It is not the last time. The first time it appears because it's the scripture that was written in with it. But there's other early churches that we do not consider part of scripture. And in those writings, it is said for Christian men not to commit arsenikitai with their wives. If you have to commit arsenikitai with your wife and it's considered homosexual, I want to know how that happened without a change operation. Because it is going to. But the Apostle Paul had exclusively good words that he could use. Because you see, he didn't write in a vacuum. There's no such thing as just biblical Greek or biblical Hebrew. There are other words that don't show up here. The Bible is a subset of the words of the language that they were using at that day and time. And the Apostle Paul, I don't think, was an unlearned man. I think he was a learned man. So if there has to be something about being gay or lesbian here, I want to know why he didn't use the words that were used that day and age, which are Erastes and Eromanes. They are not used exclusively for people who are gay or lesbian. They are used in every other instance we have of gay and lesbian in other literature of the day and age. You see, you can't read the Bible and assume that just what is right there is the only thing. Because Paul wasn't writing to a culture that didn't have a larger language. that didn't have a larger understanding. There are things that I'm sure that the Apostle Paul didn't write in his writings that are part of the Greek language of the time that are cuss words that we would not be liking too much. They were there, but they weren't appropriate because that's not what God wanted to communicate. There were words for the god Apollo, the goddess Aphrodite, all of those. While they may be false gods, they existed. They do not appear. It is the height of arrogance to assume that biblical Greek is the only Greek to show up. And if there are words for the scripture that could be used in the scripture by God that were used in the culture around him, why don't they show up here? The logic follows that it's because that's not what God's talking about. Maybe it is a sexual act. I don't know what the sexual act is, though. And it is the height of arrogance for me to sit here and say, well, you know, my particular says that simply because this is the way it's been translated every other time, for me not to go back to the Greek of the day and read, find out what it meant, look at it in other contexts, in the ways that it's used in every other piece of literature it shows up in, to say that that's what it means without looking at that other stuff, tells me that I'm not really looking for the truth. If God meant to say that being gay or lesbian was wrong, why didn't he use Erastes and Eromenes, the passive and aggressive partner in sexual relationships? Notice the word starts with er and ero. The Greek word for erotic love. Why didn't Paul use it? Because that's not what God meant. You know, there's a big argument over if we should be allowed to legally marry or not. He mentioned that fornication was the only reason that a divorce would occur in Matthew chapter 19. The Greek word is porneia. The church condones porneia when it does not allow people to marry. You know something? I have people come to the church that we're in every week who are looking for love. They're not looking for sex. And no, Pat, I don't think that love equals sex. I understand the difference. I understand that true love lasts a lot longer than the sex ever will. And as a matter of fact, it takes you a year to get married in my church, whether you're straight or gay. Not because I'm concerned about who you're having sex with. I'm concerned that your relationship will weather the storm of a culture that does not value covenant relationships and does not value marriage. You know, I am married. And it's not always easy to be married, is it? But I am in a marriage that is as biblically grounded, as strong and as healthy as anybody else. That's not defined by you. That's defined by God. It's not defined by me either. He says that the only way to go to heaven is to give up our sin. It's not like I can have the willpower to all of a sudden quit committing fornication, all of a sudden quit doing certain things, and all of a sudden go to heaven. Scripture teaches, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. It didn't say except through making the right choices, doing the right things. For faith without works may be dead, but the apostle teaches very clearly that it is by grace through faith that we are saved, not by works, lest anyone should boast. You can't do the right things to make it to heaven, folks. You can't say the right things. You can't be the right things. You have to allow Jesus to make you the right thing and change your heart to reflect the grace and love and power that God created us to have. For too long, we've allowed division in the church about petty issues. Tell people inside Nashville that the Christian church is irrelevant, that Jesus is nonsensical because we argue about whether or not the law and doing the right thing gets me to heaven when it never did and it never will. The only thing that gets us to heaven is acceptance of the salvation that Jesus freely offered at the completed work of Calvary. It's a free gift, freely available. You know, so long ago, I didn't trust my mother when she told me to be careful about people who told me the right thing first before you became the right person. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit as given through God and Jesus Christ that I can stand today and know where my home is. And that home isn't defined by anybody else but the one who died at Calvary. Grace by faith. Are you saved? Not by works, lest anyone should boast. Galatians chapter 3 teaches that we shall live. In Hebrews chapter 7 verse 12 says that with a change in the priesthood, there must be a change in the law. In Romans chapter 3, verse 27, that we are justified by faith apart from the... My brother invites you to obedience and repentance. I invite you, not to that necessarily, but to acceptance of Jesus as your personal Savior and the one who will justify you until the day of redemption. Amen.